In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, all over the world, Orthodox Christians in every Orthodox Christian country and even non-Orthodox country like America, every Orthodox church in the world, the people gather in their churches like we gather in this beautiful church today, celebrate this midpoint of Great and Holy Lent, the precious cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In every Orthodox church in the world, the cross, as we see it here, is adorned lovingly with flowers and greenery, and we carried it just before the liturgy solemnly throughout the church with incense and candles as we, the faithful, sing those glorious hymns, O Lord, save thy people, and before thy cross we bow down. We sing these hymns of our heart, these glorious hymns of the cross. And then we complete this procession with our bows, our devout bows before the cross, and we venerate it. The Holy Fathers tell us that while we people process with the cross, the angels and archangels, thousands and millions of them, they accompany the Holy Cross too, as it's carried through our church. And the demons, they turn their faces away in terror and revulsion. This cross that we honor and kiss defeated them and will always defeat them. This cross that we kiss and wear upon our breasts always puts them to shame. But outside of our beautiful Orthodox churches, there's a sad and shocking phenomenon taking place. You can encounter a new kind of Christianity that presents us with a new and improved, so to speak, version of Christianity, a new gospel. And dare I say that even Orthodox Christians who struggle and maybe don't have the mind of Christ, it seems appealing to have a Christianity without the cross. A Pascha, an Easter, with no holy and good Friday. How pleasant this appears to the world, to us in our weakness often, and how much it attracts many people. This new and enlightened Christianity asks this question: is the cross, self-denial, all the struggle in Orthodoxy really necessary? Come on, isn't it a little bit much? Or is this all just some kind of leftover from medieval dark times when Christians weren't as enlightened as they are now? The unfortunate cry of many of these modern Christian spokesmen is that we're resurrection people. We're resurrection people, Father. And we become aware that all Christ really wants for us is to be happy. The great lie. The modern Christian of the world, and even those who call themselves Orthodox but don't know the Orthodox faith, they see themselves sometimes as more mature, an advanced, progressive man who can better see the spiritual realities and understand spiritual truths in a much clearer way than our old-fashioned, ignorant fathers. He looks condescendingly on the faith of his fathers as a dark, dumb age of Christianity. But the Orthodox Church, the faithful of the Orthodox Church, especially now in our crazy times, this long-suffering church, it cries out like a voice in the wilderness, there is no Christianity without the cross. Our church stands in contradiction to all those miserable, suffering, modern contemporary voices of Christianity. The path, the narrow path, can be the only way of Calvary, the only way of the cross. There's no other way. There never was another way. The martyrs, the holy martyrs we see on our walls, they bear beautiful witness to this everlasting truth. Our Savior says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is a yoke. You know what a yoke is? You carry it on your shoulder like an oxen carries it. If you carry water on your back with a stick, it's a yoke. There is a yoke. There is a cross. There is the heaviness of this life. And there's a burden, a weight. But the Lord shows us the miracle that when you take it up, it's light. And it's sweet like nothing else in this world. We've been lied to by our culture, taught falsely that we should flee suffering at all costs to avoid anything painful or uncomfortable. Forget it. That's miserable. God doesn't want that. He wants you to be happy. Modern man, many of us have come to the unfortunate belief that we have an innate right to a pain-free existence. And in fact, if God exists, that's what He exists for. To give me a pain-free existence, to give me undeserved joy and peace. And brothers and sisters, this world and us, many of us, we'll chase after these and purchase these at any cost and any price. We in this world run after drugs. Well, I don't do drugs, Father. Yes, you do. Everyone has a drug of choice. TV, McDonald's, smoking, drinking, crack, candy, judging others, run after drugs, sexual desire, material goods, stuff, houses, cars, vacations, entertainment, movies, games, constantly. And almost any kind of distraction, we chase after it. Any kind of distraction that keeps us from facing the reality that we're empty. We do it to numb ourselves so we don't feel that emptiness. Because there's one deep truth the fathers say. Life is nothing but emptiness without Christ and His cross. We were created by God in His image and His likeness, the scriptures say, and our hearts have no rest until this likeness is renewed and achieved. St. Augustine says, "My heart finds no rest, O Lord, until it finds rest in Thee." Though we try to find in other things, it's always a miserable letdown. From one thing to the next, one person to the next, one hobby to the next, one job to the next, one house to the next, emptiness followed upon emptiness. And we're lonely. Deeply lonely if we try to live our life without Christ or to make Christ without His cross. And it doesn't truly fulfill us, much as the world lies to us. It's not natural. We can't be content, brothers and sisters, with false imitations of the peace that only Christ can give. In the liturgy we say, "In peace let us pray to the Lord." Second one, "For the peace from above and the salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord." And the Lord says, "I give you peace, not as the world gives it, but His own unique peace that only Christ can give." We were created to be with Christ, to be united with Him through this struggle in the church that we're doing in Lent, prayer, fasting, struggle to reach His likeness, theosis. And no matter how hard we try to avoid it, our hearts are not content and should not be content with anything less than a life full of Him. Deep in our hearts, every soul knows this truth. Buried underneath piles of garbage and the filth and the lies of our life, the truth shines. It's there. No matter how dim and small of a candle, that light is there in every human being created by God. It's precisely through Christ and precisely in His cross, hated by the world, disparaged. It's in that glorious cross that our life actually has meaning and purpose. Through the cross, the Father saying, only through the cross can we find peace, that peace from above and salvation. There's no other way. On this midpoint, this third Sunday of the great and holy fast, the church is calling us to something. It's directing our gaze to something. We bring out this cross in our midst. We've been struggling, we're in pain, we're suffering, we're depressed. And it brings up this cross with great solemnity as a consolation for me, as a consolation for your heart, to show us how to heal the pain that we're uncovering, the wounds and idiocy that the fast is exposing in us. We don't love, we don't have humility, we don't know how to pray, we don't know what we're doing. People often come to me in Lent and they say, "Father, I thought Lent would be so spiritual. All I'm realizing is how bad I am." Glory be to God. That's the great purpose of this time
is to show us our sickness, to show us how weak we are. How can we judge other people when we see how weak we are? And to see how much we desperately need Christ and His hospital, the church. And seeing those wounds, and hopefully we're seeing them, if we're taking this time seriously, the cross is brought out before us today to console us and to heal that wound in some sense. It promises us something. It promises us that through this cross that we carry, through these pains and aches and depression, resurrection is the outcome. You see, the cross of Christ, hated by the world, is really a symbol of glorious victory. If there's no Holy Friday, no crucifixion of our Lord, there's no glorious day of death being destroyed on Pascha. If there's no cross, there's no Christ is risen. There's no us being risen. There's just death in this world. This glorious reality is presented to us liturgically this week for us. The church shows us and brings before us the precious and life-giving cross. We sing these hymns at the beginning of the service, at the end of the service, all week. And we bow down before the precious cross, the cross of our victory. The church shows us the great mystery. And this life is truly mysterious, brothers and sisters, isn't it? It lies to us. It's so simple to believe that idea of the world. It's so alluring. Yes, God wants us to be happy and have no problems and seek paradise in this earth. It seems so easy because we're all fallen. But does it ever work? It never works, which is why you're here. If it worked, you wouldn't be here. You'd be in bed. You wouldn't fast. You'd eat all the time. But you know that leads to a living hell. And you want a living paradise. And that's why you dragged yourself here this morning. And we see this mystery opening up to us through suffering. Oddly, different than the world, this fallen world, through suffering and through pain and death even. Death becomes life, eternal life. It's a great mystery this world doesn't understand. The paradox of the cross, death leading to life, it's essential for our faith. And we forget it all too often, and that's why we get down and think that God has abandoned us. Brothers and sisters, what we're being told today, here in our beautiful little church, is not the comfortable, modern version of Christianity. No, thank God. What's given to us is the true and living, apostolic, authentic, saving gospel of our sweet Lord Christ. It's the way of the cross. We join hundreds of millions of Orthodox Christians around the world who are also suffering, who are also in pain in Syria, in the Middle East. For thy sakes we are killed all the day long. Modern martyrs of the world, in Kosovo, in the Middle East, all over the world. We join those suffering Christians, bowing down mystically together before the cross. And we accept the cross. And we embrace the cross. But this cross you're kissing today, more than, of course, it's the cross of Christ. But we're embracing our personal, unique cross. Whatever that might be for each one of us. For some, your cross could be heart disease. Others, it could be cancer riddling your body. It might be old age slowing you down. It might be mental illness. It might be a just racking depression. Physical handicaps. Or simply being depressed, heartbroken, misunderstood by other people, lost in this world and can't find our way. So you see this cross in the middle of the church we have today. When you kiss it, you are kissing and taking up your own cross. It was made uniquely for you before all time, the fathers say. The Lord knew everything. Everything we've done and will do is already written in His book, the scriptures say. He knows it. And He hand-tailored a cross for me and you, which is called this life. And if we kiss it and take it up with strength, it will lead to our resurrection, both in this life and the next. So come before it. Kiss the life-giving cross today. And in so doing, mystically and literally, embrace it. Embrace your life God has given you with your struggles. Don't look for a life outside of the life God has given you. He numbers the hairs on your head. He makes no mistakes. He's given you that wife that annoys you, the husband that annoys you. He's given you the struggle with your kids. He's given you those parents. He's given you that teacher and that job and that deformity and that disease. He's allowed all that. So we can kiss it. Bow down before it. carry it. Like true Christians. Without complaining. Without saying, woe is me. Without wanting to get down from our cross. And Ignatius says, we're like Christians who say, get me off this cross. I hate it. It's so uncomfortable. Like the people who said, if you're really the Christ, get yourself down from there. But the one and the other thief next to him said, get us down from here if you really are. And the beautiful thief who stole paradise said, we deserve to be here. We deserve these things. We're sinners. But he turned to the Lord. He did not deny his cross. And he said, remember me, O Lord, in your kingdom. And this thief stole paradise. The first person in paradise isn't the goody two-shoes, isn't a perfect person. He's the person who accepted his suffering. He accepted his lot, his cross, his punishment. And he turned and said, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. And the Lord said these great words, verily, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's the words you want to hear. That's the words you can hear in Lent. That's the mystical words that can be spoken to you in your suffering. The only good words. So let's be strong, brothers and sisters in this community. Let's stop complaining. Let's stop feeling sorry for ourselves, self-pity, pity parties. Let's stop having regrets about the past we can't change. Knowing that this life, this struggle that you take up today is the beautiful and exact medicine and cross God has tailor-made for you. What a beautiful, blessed life we have to be given the dignity and honor to carry our cross and walk in the same footsteps of our Lord, the God-man. We're being given the opportunity to become His disciples. And He said this, you cannot be my disciples unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And the great joy, the great message of proclamation to this broken world is that it's through suffering. It's through not complaining. It's through trusting God in everything and the prayer and the fasting which the world hates. If we do this with humility and love, the cross opens the portal to the resurrection. This world is dying for resurrection. It's dying for peace and joy and light. Everyone wants that. But they don't know that the only pathway is narrow. And it's through this life of carrying our cross. Let us show the suffering world how to find true consolation. If I, as a priest, can't bear the pain and suffering joyfully and trust that it's taking me to paradise, if you can't do it in your workplaces, how will this broken world find this power in Christ, find eternal life? I end with a story. There was a monk, a man very depressed in his spiritual life. He was so down. He said, I can't do it, Lord. I'm sick of this life. I'm sick of it. I hear all the time from people, why is my life like this? And he fell down just before his icons in a heap and kind of passed out. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, come with me. And he brought him to a great room, a mystical room where there was walls all around and the ceilings went all the way to the heavens. And there was thousands and thousands of different kinds of crosses, different sizes, adorning these mystical walls. And he said, pick the one you want. Pick whatever one you want. And he went around and he found a little tiny one on the wall. And he said, I want this one. And the angel says, that's the one you've always had. That's the one you've always had. The Lord knew you couldn't handle more than that. And he sees a huge cross and says, whose cross is that? That big one. And he's allowed to see for a minute the life of a single mother who loves Christ, who's raising multiple children in the city, begging for food, going to church, so much struggles. He says, do you want that one? And he says, no, please give me the one I've always had. The Lord knows what I need. And he kissed that cross, and that man never complained for the rest of his life. Trusting in the mercy of God. Brothers and sisters, either the Lord is real, and He's taking care of us, and He's here in our midst right now, and He knows your pain. He knows your suffering. He knows everything about us. The smallest things. And He's taking care of us. We believe that. Or we're faithless. And we're controlling people. And we don't believe in Him at all. And we live like atheists. Great consolation comes from trusting Him. Anxiety and depression and craziness comes from trying to be God. Let us put ourselves into His hands. Let's take this great gift, the cross He's offering to each of us in our life. Let's kiss it. Thank Him for the struggles. Thank Him for the pain. And let's do more than that. Let's carry it and let's find joy. You have 3 weeks, brothers and sisters, 3 more weeks to find Christ in your suffering so we can have the most glorious Pascha ever. May our Lord Jesus Christ, who carried His cross, give us strength to bear ours, that we can find the portal of paradise and it may open to us in this life and we can show others that beautiful path. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.